Hi, this is Ruth McCauley with news from the Decatur area for Thursday, March 24th. We begin with some of the local news. This article written by Huey Freeman, an H&R staff writer, with the headline, Teen Arrested for Stealing Purse, Selling It on Facebook. An 18-year-old woman was arrested Sunday on a burglary charge after she allegedly broke the window of a Jeep in a bar parking lot, stole a purse from its front seat, and tried to sell the purse on Facebook. Catherine M. Ellis was in Curly's Bar, 2683 North Water Street, about 1 a.m. Sunday, when the bartender asked her to leave because she was underage, said a probable cause affidavit by Decatur Police Detective Troy Kretzinger. Because the woman had been observed attempting to steal from a patron in the bartender decided to follow her outside. He didn't see her in the parking lot, but saw a dark-colored vehicle speeding away and heard an alarm sounding from a Jeep. After the bartender informed the patrons about the alarm, the Jeep owner discovered the broken window. A purse valued at $400 was missing from the front seat, along with credit cards and other contents. At 6 p.m. Sunday, police received word that Ellis was selling a Michael Kors brand purse on her Facebook page. The police showed a photo of the purse to its owner, who said it matched the one stolen from her. The bartender identified a profile photo on the page as the woman he asked to leave the bar. Kretzinger arranged to meet Ellis at a Northside restaurant. She arrived at 6:35 in a vehicle with a purse in plain view on the front seat. Ellis was asked to hand over the purse and asked if it was hers, Kretzinger wrote in his statement. Ellis claimed it was. After Ellis granted the detective consent to search the purse, the first document he removed bore the name of the rightful owner. Ellis was then placed under arrest. During a police interview, Ellis said she found the purse lying on the ground, which appeared to have been gone through. She said she went through it, discarded a few things, then left the area with a friend. She told police she later removed some credit cards and discarded them near a Northside motel. Two of the victim's credit cards were located at the specified location. Ellis is being held in Macon County Jail on $25,000 bond, pending her arraignment. Ryan Voiles writes for the Decatur Herald and Review, Decatur teen arrested on attempted murder charge. A Decatur teen has been arrested in connection with a shooting that occurred Tuesday afternoon just east of downtown. Bryson Benedict, 18, was arrested Tuesday night on a preliminary charge of attempted first-degree murder hours after he allegedly shot someone during a physical altercation. Officers from the Decatur Police Department were sent to East William and North 17th Streets at 3:20 p.m. Tuesday afternoon after reports of shots fired and an injured person in the area. Police located the victim in the 1700 block of East William, having suffered a gunshot wound to the genital region. The victim was taken to two different hospitals for treatment. And our next article was written by Lenore Sabota, a Lee News Service writer, this from Bloomington. Delegate, Cuba visit could help Illinois. Illinois has a lot to gain from improved relations with the United States and Cuba that President Barack Obama was trying to foster through his trip to the island nation, according to an agribusiness person who was part of a delegation visiting Cuba. We are way ahead of the game as far as building relationships, said Mark Albertson, Director of Strategic Market Development for the Bloomington-based Illinois Soybean Association. Illinois has a lot at stake here, and because of our rail and shipping infrastructure, we have a direct pipeline to Cuba. But because of continuing trade restrictions, mostly related to financing and credit, Albertson said Illinois hasn't been able to take advantage of these opportunities yet. However, Albertson thinks it's only a matter of time before the embargo is ended, regardless of who moves into the White House after Obama leaves. Things are going to continue to move forward, said Albertson, pointing to polls showing Americans strongly favor ending trade and travel restrictions. Everyone seems to think it's something irreversible, like trying to put toothpaste back in the tube, he said. Albertson is part of a 6-person delegation representing the Soybean Association, Illinois-Cuba Working Group, and U.S. Agriculture Coalition for Cuba. This is an exciting time to be here, he said Monday. It's no coincidence that they were there at the same time as Obama, he said, although they aren't involved in any of his meetings. Instead, they are reaching out to media focused on the president's visit to make their case for why the embargo should be lifted. At one time, the United States had about 75% of the market for soybean oil, meal, and whole beans. Now it amounts to less than 10%, according to Albertson. Trade restrictions prohibit U.S. companies from offering financing or credit to Cuba, causing a competitive disadvantage, he said. And because the United States can't import products from Cuba, the ships delivering soybeans or other products to Cuba have to return empty. Essentially, we're paying twice the shipping cost, Albertson said. But Obama's visit gives hope to Cubans and their would-be U.S. trading partners, he said. When a TV in a restaurant where they were eating showed Air Force One landing, Albertson said, the band stopped playing and people gathered to watch. As Obama stepped off the plane, the whole restaurant erupted in applause, he said. It's a great moment to be with the Cubans. Although it was raining when Obama arrived and when he toured old Havana, Cubans saw that as a good omen, according to Albertson. In the Afro-Caribbean religion of Santeria, they consider rain to be a cleansing event, he said. To them, the rain symbolized washing away the bad history between the two countries and a clean start for a new future, Albertson said. Going back to the front page of the Decatur Herald and Review and picking up an article out of Springfield written by Dan Petrella, who is the Springfield Bureau Chief for the Decatur Herald and Review. State labor dispute headed to administrative law judge. A judge may soon decide whether the state and a union representing 38,000 of its workers have reached an impasse in contract negotiations that have dragged on for more than a year. The Illinois Labor Relations Board determined this week that there's enough information in a pair of complaints filed by Governor Bruce Rauner's administration and the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Council 31 to warrant a hearing before a Springfield-based administrative law judge. The administration and AFSCME have been bargaining over a new contract since shortly after Rauner took office last year. The first-term Republican filed a complaint with the Labor Board in January, accusing the union of bargaining in bad faith and seeking a declaration of impasse. AFSCME responded by filing its own complaint, accusing the administration of bargaining in bad faith. After an agreement between the state and the union, it's up to the labor board, to decide whether talks have reached an impasse if the two sides don't agree that they have. We conducted our preliminary investigation on both cases and determined that they both raise a question of law or fact that warrants a hearing, said Melissa Mlyniski. That's Mlyniski. Mlyniski, the board's executive director. She added, it is not us weighing in on the merits of the case or making a judgment that one side is correct at this point or incorrect. The two complaints have been combined into one case and assigned to Administrative Law Judge Sarah Curley. A date for their hearing hasn't been set. If Curley sides with the state, it would clear the way for Rauner to impose his contract terms. The governor has been a frequent critic of AFSCME since before taking office and repeatedly accuses the union of making unreasonable demands and seeking a contract that would cost the state $3 billion. AFSCME says that figure is wildly exaggerated because it treats costs already in place under the union's previous contract, which expired at the end of June, as if they were new. AFSCME remains committed to bargaining in good faith and reaching a negotiated agreement, spokesman Anders Lindahl said. But Governor Rauner refuses to bargain and remains solely focused on provoking further conflict. His confrontational approach threatens to create a statewide crisis, Lindahl said. The governor's office did not respond to a request for comment on the labor board's action. Meanwhile, Rauner has yet to act on a bill that would send stalled contract talks to arbitration. The bill, essentially identical to one the governor vetoed last year, was sent to his desk last week. Spokeswoman Catherine Kelly says he plans to veto this version, too. This time around, the measure passed the Senate with a veto-proof majority, including votes from two Republicans, Senators Neil Anderson of Rock Island and Sam McCann of Plainview. In the House, it fell four shorts vote of the total needed to override a veto. The administration and the union also are battling in Sangamon County Circuit Court in a separate case over whether Rauner should have been allowed to lay off more than 150 state workers last year as part of budget cutting efforts. I turn now to the Decatur Tribune online and pick up some news from here and there. Our first article: City Council talks fiber opportunity, mixed-use development. An expanded high-speed fiber network in Decatur, providing enhanced community and economic development opportunities, unlike anything we've seen in recent years, could soon become a reality. Council members heard details of how such a network could operate and the cost associated with the next phase of its installation during a study session on Monday night. Fiber internet networks are available to provide the higher speeds and volume of information transfer required to support today's digital lifestyles and that are critical to the kinds of business operations common to the 21st century economy. Potential users could include schools, healthcare facilities needing digital records access and sharing, distribution facilities, manufacturers, and other fiber providers, among others. Under the proposed plan, the city would lease some of its fiber to companies that would serve as the Internet Service Provider, ISP, to other users, leading to increased speeds at a lower cost. The city in 2014 installed its own fiber backbone to connect government facilities, which would be connected at Richland Community College if this second phase of expansion is approved. Council could formally consider an agreement to begin work at its Monday, April 4th meeting, with early estimates suggesting a cost of about $700,000. In other business, the council approved the rezoning of parcels at the corner of Pershing and MacArthur Roads to make way for a 12,576 square foot mixed-use facility that could offer office, retail, and restaurant development. The 1.79-acre site is located at the northeast corner of an intersection that is also flanked by additional office and commercial development at each corner. In other news, poet Steve Davenport will read from his work on Tuesday, April 19th at 7 p.m. in W126, that might be West 126, at Richland Community College, an event sponsored by Student Engagement and the Liberal Arts Division. A product of American Bottom, an Illinois floodplain across the Mississippi from St. Louis, Steve Davenport is the author of two poetry collections, Overpass, published in 2012, and Uncontainable Noise, published in 2006. With his wildly energetic and funny poetry, Davenport brings to life a rough-and-tumble working-class world that will be hauntingly familiar and immediately accessible to Richland students and the Decatur community. His poems, stories, and essays have been anthologized, reprinted, and published in scores of literary magazines, both online and in print. A Story in the Southern Review received a 2011 Pushcart Prize special mention. His Murder on Gasoline Lake, published in Black Warrior Review and later as a chapbook, is listed as Notable in Best American Essays 2007. His scholarship includes essays about the Beat Generation, Jack Kerouac, and Richard Hugo. Recently, he's involved in songwriting projects. One example is Artbox Collective's Honey and Glue. Another is the collaborative work he's done with Bruce Bruiser Rumini on This Noise in My Blood, a CD of seven songs. He is the associate director of the creative writing program at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. For more information and samples of Davenport's work, see his website at http://gasolinelake.com/. And another upcoming event promoting continuous learning, State Representative Sue Shearer, a Democrat of Decatur, will be hosting a spelling bee for senior citizens at McKinley Court in Decatur beginning at 2 p.m. on Tuesday. Oops, we've missed it, March 22nd. I hope some people got over to that. Decatur Golden K. Kiwanis will be having a flapjack fundraiser event at Applebee's in Forsyth on Saturday, April 9th. Money raised from this event will be used toward continuing to support children's programs in our area. Pancakes, bacon, coffee, and juice will be served from 8 to 10 a.m. Tickets are $5, can be purchased from any Decatur Golden K member, or you can call 521-6195. Limited tickets will be available at the door. Another upcoming event you might want to mark on your calendar is the the McElroy Memorial Golf Outing. The Decatur Family YMCA will host the inaugural McElroy Memorial Golf Outing, presented by Skeff Distributing, on Friday, July 22nd, at Red Tail Run Golf Course in Decatur. The McElroy Memorial Golf Outing honors the legacy of Mayor Mike McElroy, paying tribute to a man who worked tirelessly to improve life throughout Macon County. Event proceeds benefit the WISE annual campaign, ensuring all children and families, regardless of background or income, have a chance to benefit from the YMCA's life-changing programs and services, such as swim lessons, summer camp, live strong at the YMCA for cancer survivors, licensed daycare, preschool, and after-school programs. The format for the McElroy Memorial is a four-player scramble with both a morning and afternoon flight. A Toast to Tuna evening ceremony sponsored by Miles Chevrolet and J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds will be held immediately following the afternoon flight. Registration fees are $125 per golfer and $500 per foursome, which includes lunch, dinner provided by Max Pigskin Diner, and four drink tickets. Golfer tea gifts are an embroidered keepsake tuna towel and a Toast to Tuna beer pilsner. Raffle items include a PGA Tour golf bag embroidered with the McIlroy Memorial Tournament logo. McIlroy Memorial Golf Outing Steering Committee members, led by Honorary Chair Joel Fletcher, are Matt Beck, Dwayne Chandler, Julie Curry, Pat Dawson, Arvin Donnelly, Ann Harshman, Terry Lovecamp, Doug McCarthy, Pat McIlroy, Tim McIlroy, Kurt Turtle Rogers, John Skeffington, Dave Weber, and Matt Whitehead. For team registration and sponsorship opportunities, contact Natalie Beck at natalie.beck@decaturymca.org, or you can call 217-872-3835 at extension 129. Still picking up news from the Tribune, Davis seeks student art competition submissions. U.S. Representative Sidney Davis, a Republican, Sidney Rodney Davis, a Republican from Illinois, has announced that he is accepting submissions from high school students in the 13th Congressional District for the 2016 Congressional Art Competition. The winner's artwork will hang in the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. for an entire year. I'm excited to host this year's Congressional Art Competition at the Decatur Arts Council, said Davis. This is a great opportunity for students to display their work and to showcase their artistic abilities. I encourage all of our schools to participate, and I look forward to seeing this year's submissions. Entries for the competition are now being accepted and must be submitted to Davis's district offices on Thursday, April 7th by 5 p.m. Participating students' artwork will be on display from April 11 through 15 at the Decatur Arts Council, third floor, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. During this time, a panel of local judges will select the winner to be displayed in the U.S. Capitol. After the winner is announced, a fan favorite will be selected by followers of Representative Davis's Facebook page to be displayed in one of his congressional offices. For any additional questions or to obtain a copy of the guidelines and student release forms, please visit the official Congressional Art Competition website or contact Jenny Baldwin in Representative Davis's office at 217-403-4690 or at jenny.baldwin@mail.house.gov. The Congressional Art Competition was created in 1982, and hundreds of thousands of high school students have participated throughout the years. One winner is chosen from each participating district, and the winner's artwork is then sent to Washington, D.C. for display in the U.S. Capitol. Each winner also receives two round-trip tickets to Washington, D.C. It's pretty cool. Here's another pretty cool thing. Youth Leadership Institute applications due on April 18th. The Youth Leadership Institute, YLI, is a program designed for high school juniors who have demonstrated a potential for leadership. Its purpose is to prepare them for constructive leadership, community involvement, and responsible participation in the future of the Decatur area. Applications for the 2016-2017 Youth Leadership Institute program, sponsored by Ameren, Team Soy Capital, Continental Carbonic Products Incorporated, Decatur Metropolitan Rotary Club, Richland Community College Foundation, Richland Community College, and Millikan University are available to current high school sophomores who wish to participate in this competitive process. Applications are due April 18th, and can be obtained from high school counselors. From Alex Berry at Richland Community College, hyperlink mail to A. Berry@richland.edu, A. Berry@richland.edu, or Molly Berry, Millikan University, hyperlink mail to M. Berry@millikan.edu, M. Berry@millikan.edu. Okay. Okay, mark your calendars on this event too. There will be a free residential electronics recycling collection at Progress City USA on Saturday, April 2nd, from 9 a.m. until noon. Take your unwanted TVs, computers, laptops, printers, microwaves, video game consoles, phones, digital cameras, etc. to Progress City USA, adjacent to Richland Community College. Enter off of East Mound Road and follow the signs. There is a limit of 3 TVs or computer monitors per vehicle, with a total of 10 items per vehicle. Check www.macongreen.com or call Macon County Environmental Management Department at 425-4505 for additional items accepted. Residential electronics only. No items from businesses or commercial enterprises. This event is possible thanks to the support of Advanced Technology Recycling, ATR, Macon County Environmental Management Department, and Progress City USA, Richland Community College. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then return with the second half hour of news from the Decatur area. We hope you'll stick with us and come back in just a moment.